Well, it is good to see all of you came back and got the memo about the time change and remembered it. We will not be here long, and I hope most of you will decide to go over for the singing, because that is the reason why we did move the service up a bit. So I hope many of you will make it over there, and we can support that. This evening, we just have a brief thought I want you to think about. It's one that that I often think about when going through some of Paul's writings. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I had a friend of mine, a brother of mine, up from Oklahoma. He had gone up to, I think it was New York, and he had posted online a request asking if anybody knew of a good, faithful, sound congregation in the area where he was going to be at so that he could attend there while he was out of town. You know, questions like that arise for a reason. They come about for a reason. Just because there's a name on the sign, it no longer means, or it never did just mean, that what was being taught there or said there or done there was in accordance with the will of God. So he was asking and requesting of his brethren for advice as to a faithful place he could attend. Why does that matter, and how important is that? And how could others advise him on such a matter? Well, because by our fruits we are known. Individually and as a collective, we are known by the fruit we produce. Whether we do produce fruit, whether we're barren, or whether we are producing things that ought not be produced, we will be known by that. And when we go to the New Testament and flip through some of Paul's writings, as he writes to these various congregations, he says quite a few different things depending on which congregation or which group of people he was writing to. So as he addressed them, we're going to look at a couple of the examples. When he wrote to the Corinthians, what did Paul have to say to them? What did he tell them? In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 and 11, Paul says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you." This is Paul's report that had gotten back to him concerning the Corinthians. There were divisions among them. There were quarrels among them. He says he's heard how they are divided. That's not such a great review of the church at Corinth to start with. It's not a great report that has reached him. It does not look good for the Corinthians or the church as a whole. What about the Galatians? To the Galatians in chapter 1, what does Paul tell them? He says, starting in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1, he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Again, to those in Galatians, this is not a very good report. What Paul says concerning them, I marvel that you have so soon been removed from the gospel of Christ to something else, which is not a gospel at all. That's a pretty tough critique of those in Galatia. It's direct, it's to the point. He didn't beat around the bush, and they had strayed from the true gospel to other teaching, like we talked about this morning. Hey, they had those itching ears. They turned to something else. And what's he saying in verses 10 through 12? He says, in essence, it doesn't matter what they're saying. If it's different than what we've already delivered to you, let him be accursed. We're not here to please man. but we're here to please God. Another scathing report by Paul to the Galatians. Corinthians wasn't good. Galatians, it was not good. What about those in Colossae? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul has a bit of a different thought than what we had just seen. Starting in verse 3 of Colossians 1, he says, "We give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints." That's quite a bit better. That's quite a bit better of a report than what we saw with the Corinthians and the Galatians. He thanks God continually, praying always for them because of the faith of the brethren there in Colossae and the love that they have for the saints. And then one more example. Those in Thessalonica. To his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul begins by giving a great compliment. Paul had a genuine love and appreciation for the Thessalonians because of their faithfulness. And in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 5, we read this. It says, "Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering." That's an outstanding report. That is an outstanding report by the Apostle Paul. How great it must be for the Thessalonians to know that the Apostle Paul and his companions there, as he began, Silvanus and Timothy, they had such praise for those in Thessalonica. They're not there trying to please God, trying to please Paul. They're not there trying to please man, but rather they are there doing the will of God. And by as a byproduct, Paul is grateful for it. Paul is pleased. They are happy. They rejoice in that their brethren there are so faithful. And he knows that their faith is growing abundantly. He knows that the love that they have for one another is continuing to grow. When Paul visits or communicates with other congregations, as he says, he tells them, he boasts about those in Thessalonica. He boasts about the Thessalonians and their faithfulness, their strong foundation, their perseverance, even in the face of persecution. How strong must the Christians in Thessalonica have been to have such an impression on Paul? How great would it be if we had that kind of impression on those around us? If we were known throughout the area, throughout the state, throughout anybody asked, you know, I'm in Central Texas. What's a good congregation to go to? And Highway 95 was on the tip of their tongue. Highway 95 in Taylor, Texas. That's a great congregation. They have a great love for the brethren. They have a great spiritual growth continually. How great would it be if that's how we were known among everyone? We are known well. I'm not saying we're known poorly. We are known. The congregation here is recognized as being a good, faithful congregation. I will say that. I have spoken to a number of individuals, and they have nothing but good things to say. We do great things. If you go and talk with the elders or talk with Terry, because he handles the finances, there's a lot of great things we do with the contribution we get. We help a lot of places. And that's one of the things we're known for, is being abundantly generous. There's always more we can do. There's always more room for growth, both spiritually, numbers, in all areas. There is room for us to improve as a congregation. How great would it be if our numbers did not change on that board? I've mentioned before, how great would it be if we had the same number on Sunday morning worship as we do, or if we had the same number here on Wednesday that we do on Sunday morning worship? On Sunday nights or on Wednesday nights, or as we're going to the singing, if we had the entire congregation show up over there, they wouldn't have room for us. There wouldn't be room. There's always room for us to grow. So as we get ready to leave here, I want us to just think about, what is there more that we can do individually, as a congregation? What more is there that we can do? If you feel like you need to be doing more, great, but you don't know what to do, well, reach out to one of the elders. Let them know, hey, I want to try and help in some way. There's more I want to do. What can I do to be of help? What can we do? We talked about it in our meeting a couple weeks ago with the congregational meeting. We're trying to find more things to do. Let's work together to strive to do more, to do better, to grow spiritually, one another, with the faith, with the love for the brethren. So again, as we leave here, I want us to all just think about, what more can we do, and how can we better serve God? How can we better serve Him and have an impact on those around us? Reach those who do not know about God. Because if we do not reach out to them, the chances are that they're not going to know about God. They're not going to find out about God and have the hope that we do. The message is yours. If you are here tonight and you are not a Christian, and you would like to know what it means to be a Christian, if you would like to sit down and study and find out, well, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? How am I supposed to submit to the will of God? We will gladly sit down with you and study. Study and let you see for yourself in God's Word what it says. We won't try and tell you what it says. We'll let you read it all for yourself. If you've already become a Christian and yet you feel like you have strayed from the path, you've turned aside from God, and perhaps you are known as someone who is known for something that you'd like to not be known, and you want to make things right and get back on the straight and narrow path and continue to grow spiritually with us here at Highway 95 in Taylor, or if you have any needs of the congregation at all, won't you come while we stand and sing the song that's been selected?